This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Staub Audio Engineering. If you have listened to any of the episodes, you have undoubtedly heard me talk about Mike and the phenomenal audio engineering work that he does. His mixes and masters are truly some of the best that I've ever heard. I love working with Mike on all of our Dreamfield tunes, on all of our Summit One tunes. He is an absolute wizard. Make sure to hit him up, inquire about mixing and mastering prices, and take your tracks to the next level. Oh, yeah. And Mike is also one of the nicest, kindest human beings you'll ever meet. Definitely hit him up and work with him.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all of the producers, artists, and creators that are tuning into the show. My name is Cody Christensen, and you are listening to the Chilled Samples Podcast.
Hello, Brandon. Welcome back to the podcast, my friend. It's funny. Typically, we do a little preface before we hit record, but for this episode, we are not. We're just diving into it. So, my first question, Brandon, what's going on in the world of Enlove?
Well, there's a lot happening right now. I'm almost finished with two albums. So I've got one album right now that's more like original composition with some features on it, and that's also a very personal album for me. It'll be between 12 and 15 tracks.
Nice.
And that I've been working on for a while. That's cool. That's ready to go. And then I've got a second album, which is, this one's actually going to come first. It's more like sampled, sample-based lo-fi, like that classic boom-bap mm-hmm. shit. And I'm really excited for that to come out, cause that's like more going back to my roots, and, about done with both of those. So feeling good, like I should.
When nice, man.
Go longer around the neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, congrats on wrapping those up. I know it's a time consuming, and emotional investment to work on such large compilations of tunes, man. So
yeah,
kudos for wrapping those up. And I guess, outside of the world of Enlove, how's everything going inside the world of Brandon?
Oh man, in the world of Brandon, it's crazy right now. The semester, for school is coming to a close. Just got back from spring break, first week back. It's crazy. Just a lot of work. But it's Friday. It is Friday. My work for the week is done. I feel good. I'm here. I'm talking about music. This is where I want to be. But yeah, overall, the world of Brandon is good. Spiritually, my life is sound right now. I wish I was doing a little bit more yoga and meditation. Mm-hmm. I still try to find time throughout the day to like 5 minutes to just take some deep breaths, because it's been go, go, go for me. Balance has been harder lately.
Mm-hmm.
It has been harder. I'm sure similar for you. I mean, you've been playing some shows recently, haven't you?
Playing some shows, yes. Balance is currently non-existent. It's turbulent times, but once again, I have nothing to complain about, right? I get to travel around and play music and record podcasts and make music. So, so nothing to complain about, but yes, similarly feeling relatively tumultuous. And I guess diving into that spirituality piece, Brandon, so you mentioned like yoga and meditation. So what else do you do to try and have that connection with your spirituality, whatever that may be?
Well, I do love yoga because it's just, it's a good way to connect with the breath to the body. And I feel throughout a lot of the day, it's my mind driving me rather than my body. Mm-hmm. So it's more of like taking that time to take a step back and like focus on more like primal human shit rather than like ego fulfilling shit.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy just taking that time for myself And it always feels so rewarding. Like before you do it, before you do any sort of exercise, there's like a piece of your brain that tells you, come on, like that's so much work. Like really now you want to carve out 45 minutes to do that? Like you could be productive right now. You could go like mix that song you've been putting off. Like, but no, it's a level of satisfaction and fulfillment after you're done that it's like, it's better than anything else. So I don't know if that's a spiritual thing, or that's just a personal thing.
It puts me
more in touch with myself.
I think it definitely is. And what you said about kind of the letting your mind lead the way, and our minds are so cluttered and so distracted. And I also love what you said about separating the ego. And that's something I've been working on over the past few months through meditation, trying to regain that centeredness, and learning where the ego's taking the wheel and driving, rather than life itself, if that makes sense. So
totally
letting life take charge. And my job is just to be the instrument to do the next best thing and do the next healthy thing, but allow life to happen rather than white knuckling it and trying to control the direction in the success or whatever it is that I'm pursuing. And that's undoubtedly difficult and more difficult than I was anticipating.
Absolutely. And I think this comes back to a very simple phrase, and it's like, you hear this all the time. It's go with the flow. And a lot of the time the ego doesn't want to go with the flow of time, like just the way things need to be. It's like I often feel like I'm fighting the current in a way, and like surrendering to where you are right now. Be here now, as Ram Dass says, it's always the answer.
Yeah, it's always the answer. Man, it's so challenging, to get there. And during our first conversation in December, we were kind of talking about psychedelics and microdosing and the power of those tools. And what I we chatted like a month and a half ago, and I was telling you that I'm taking a psychedelic journey of sobriety currently, which has been such a interesting journey, and once again more difficult than I anticipated. And I didn't realize how often I would use substances to instantly change the way that I feel rather than going with that flow.
Going within rather than like looking for something external to like give you an answer.
Totally. And it's so easy to smoke a joint or to drink a beer when you're uncomfortable, or when I'm uncomfortable with whatever way that I'm feeling. And so this 3 months of sobriety has really forced me to sit down with those feelings of like, man, what? Like, why? Why do I want to drink? Why do I
want to cope? Yeah.
Yeah. What am I dealing with? So that's interesting introspective journey. And there's more moments in my life where I am trying to control the way I feel through substances than I initially thought. And I mean, a great example of this is, I played a show with D-Rock in Lincoln, and I was sober for that show. And it's those pre-show nerves that it's like, oh, I could knock those out with a couple beers,
smoke a little,
whatever. I could knock that out, but rather than that, I'm warming up before going on stage.
You sit with it, and as soon as you stop trying to fight the feeling that you get and accept where you are, things start to get so much better. And I found that was a lot of the antidote to some of my anxiety before. Like, you're anxious because you feed into it.
Yeah.
And as soon as you stop trying to fight this flow of like what's happening right now, like, oh, I don't want to be anxious, I want to be happy. Oh, I don't want to be sad, I want to be feeling this way. No, you're feeling this way for a reason. There's a reason you're here. Be here with it. And it's so crazy. Like once you accept sadness, like accept being sad where you are, you start to feel more content. It's not happiness.
No.
it's not happiness, but you feel content with where you are. You're okay with it. It feels nice. It's comforting.
It is, and it's you know, and it sucks at a lot of times, right?
Oh, because it does. Because it's not good always.
Because you do have to sit with those feelings, and so right now, only being 3 months in, and I'm viewing it as a training program, just like if I'm training for an ultra marathon, right? Those first 5 mile and 10 mile runs, like, they suck. My body isn't prepped for that. But I do those for a couple months, and then all of a sudden I'm running 18 miles, and now the 10 mile runs seem easy. And so I'm viewing this kind of sobriety process as, or the negative aspects, the hard aspects, really viewing it as that training program, because it could be really simple to say fuck it, I'm having a drink. Fuck it, I'm smoking. In those tough moments, it's not necessarily easy, but I'm viewing it as that long-term growth and that long-term knowledge of self, of going through these the difficult times. And you know, even for the podcast, right? Like, having a drink right now or smoking right now, it'd be
nice. Loosen it up a little it's part of the long term, and you're focused on that, and I commend you for that, like being focused on the long term rather than the short term benefits of something, because it's so easy to just pick up a beer and do that.
Yeah, and I guess I should have prefaced, I'm not knocking the use of any substances. It's just I had been using substances to change the way that I feel, at the end of the day, that's what it is, to change the way that I feel. And I've done that for so long, and I haven't been this sober for this long since I was like 12. Right.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Wow.
It's been a long time.
That's
so
insane.
So I'm, yeah, just going through that. I was looking forward to that challenge of like, wait a second, pause. Like, why? Let's think about why you're doing. And this has been introspective in that realm. But once again, not a knock on utilizing substances, especially since we had a very pro microdosing conversation when we first met.
This is just where you are in your personal journey.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's at a different place.
Yeah. Well, and it's I just kind of diving back into your meditation practices or going with the flow. So aside from pausing to actually do yoga, like, at what moments throughout the day do you pause to recognize is Brandon really in control, or are you going with the flow? Like, when do you pause and have those moments?
Interesting. Sometimes, like while I'm walking around campus, because I'm on a very beautiful campus here, and like I'll get so focused on where I'm going rather than like the journey to where I'm going, because like the landscaping here at Belmont is beautiful. Like, it's spring right now, so everything is blooming. There's tulips and cherry blossoms and everything, and I'm just like speeding to get to class, and I'll catch myself in this. Not appreciating the little things, and I'll pause for a second. I'll be like, I can be a minute late. I can sit here right now and just appreciate where I am, the privilege that I have to be getting this education, to be in this beautiful city, to be on this beautiful campus, surrounded by talented people, surrounded by beautiful scenery, and just taking a deep breath and just being in that moment. It's when I feel like I'm have too many destinations to be. It comes back. It's not about the destination, it's about the journey. But it's true. It is. Yeah. It is true.
Yeah. So I guess Brandon, a follow up question to that is, how do you find the balance between striving for more, striving for success, while balancing being appreciative for what you have?
Striving for success while balancing appreciation. Well, I have a journal that I write in. First of all, it's my gratitude journal, and I try to do every night before I go to bed. I write down at least three things that I'm grateful for in my life. And whether that's small or large, it could be people, it could be just one interaction that I had that brought a smile to my face or if I brought a smile to someone else's, that always makes me feel so much better. Mm-hmm. But it's just those little moments of life, which is what this is all about.
Yeah.
It's like, why do we live? It's not... Have you seen the movie Soul?
I have not. No, ooh. The Disney movie, right?
Yeah, Disney Pixar, yeah. But Soul, the message of that movie is essentially like this whole movie is focused on these two characters and they're each trying to find their purpose or their spark, their reason for living. And spoiler alert, in the end, they figure out that the reason for living is the small things. Like this unborn soul gets to live on Earth in a human body. And she or they, I don't know the pronoun of this unborn soul, but they find the very small things, like, you know, those little leaves that twirl down from the trees, mm-hmm. like the tiny ones, the little like propeller leaves.
Helicopters like, or whatever
yeah,
we used
yeah,
to call
whatever
them.
They're called. But yeah, you know what I mean.
Yep.
And then just like the taste of pizza and like just like a half of a bagel that they put in like a case in the subway. I don't know. It's just, it's the little things. It's the little things that count at the day to day because we're always chasing these big dreams. But if you don't have anything in between that, then what was the point of the journey?
Totally. Yeah. Well, and I asked that question cause that's something that I struggle with, continuously, but I always relate it back to, running mountains or climbing mountains. And I, whenever I reach the summit of a peak, I'm looking at this vast, beautiful view, but I'm already looking at the next mountain range
and the
next peak
that
I want to climb. Right. And that's, I've used that as a positive example, in many aspects, because for me, it's about climbing that mountain and then looking directly at that next one. But now as I'm becoming more introspective, it's like, well, maybe just sit and enjoy the view before, before planning your next adventure. That's difficult, man.
It's so difficult. And yeah, to get more to the point of your question. I've always find it hard to pause and just appreciate like where I am in my journey of like end love, like where, like how far I've come, I guess. And just to see, like, I always like to look at my music like 3 years ago and look from that perspective at where I am now. And I mean, that is a mountain. That is a mountain that's been climbed, and it's hard. It's really hard to just be at the summit because I don't know. I think it's just something in how our brains are wired. Like, there's always a higher mountain to climb. There's something further to aspire towards, or you want to stay at that peak. You feel like this peak is, you get up to the peak and then it's like, wait, I'm in quicksand? What is this? And so you're trying to stay at that peak, which is not attainable. I don't know. It's just, it never seems to be enough. It never does. The brain is a hammer and everything is a nail. It needs a nail.
It does. Well, and I, shout out to Theo Azito88 for teaching me the term hedonic adaptation because it's,
hedonic adaptation. Okay.
Yeah. So as human beings, we're highly adaptable. So if you, let's just talk from a salary perspective, if you're making $50,000 a year, while you're striving for 60, you get that raise, you're at $60,000 per year. Well, you're only going to appreciate that for a couple of weeks. Yeah. Because you become used to 60,000 or, maybe so for me with running, you know, I ran a couple marathons and then I was like, what are these ultra marathons about? Just because
it's the next level. Yeah.
It's that next level. And because I had become accustomed to that marathon distance. And, I think it's such an important concept to not to our best, not to, put our current happiness, just kind of like we've been talking about, on that next summit or that next race or that next album, because knowing what hedonic adaptation is, we're never going to achieve it. Like, how many millionaires and billionaires are out there that are just miserable?
So many. There's so many. Yeah. Well, we can get to the money is the root of all evil type of thing, but nah, we don't need to go that direction. But I know, if you're, it's hard. It's constant. It's a constant chase for, you're chasing the moment. You're trying to be in the moment when, I mean, our careers are founded on, and just the way society is set up, it's like you always have to have this next best thing. There's somewhere for you to be going rather than just like, oh, you've arrived at this destination. And like, I feel like there were so many destinations that I didn't even know that I passed by and I didn't fully appreciate in this musical journey. And I mean, I'm going to say, like, I'm going to do my best to appreciate where I'm at right now, but me trying to make more albums and put out more songs, like, I'm not comfortable without being productive. And that's just the reality for me, is I'm not going to be comfortable without being productive. And that's what I think makes me successful. And that's what makes a lot of people successful, is they're not ever satisfied. They can't be comfortable.
I agree, man. When I feel terrible, it's when I'm not striving to accomplish anything. And in going back to like the flow of life, right? Because we can use that as an excuse to not work sometimes. Balancing the, like, do I actually need rest? Does life want me to rest right now, or am I just being lazy? Is this the dopamine hit from this Netflix binge, is this gonna come back and bite me in the ass, or should I pursue my art or whatever your calling is, specifically for this podcast,
music,
right?
It's sure.
Diving into music, or for me, running as well. Yeah. Multiple aspects, but once again, that's a hard balance to decipher, because our internal voice, our internal dialogue, is so cunning, and it's our own voice talking to ourselves, right? So if we want to convince ourselves of something, there's no better person to do it than our internal thoughts.
Totally.
I
think, just to sum all of this up in a really short quote, a Frenchman, Guillaume Apollinaire, has a really good quote. Every now and then, we must pause in our pursuit of happiness and just be happy.
Ooh, I like that. Brandon, can you give us the author of that beautiful quote and that quote one more time?
That's Guillaume Apollinaire, Guillaume, space, Apollinaire. I think, I don't know, French, hard to spell. Yeah.
That's beautiful quote, man. Did he write a book, or where'd you come across that quote?
I actually heard that in a podcast. I don't know if you're familiar with the Duncan Trussell Family
Yes.
Hour podcast.
I sure am.
But yes, that was a podcast with him and his teacher, Jack Kornfield, who is very Buddhist and very, very wise.
Man, I love listening to Duncan Trussell, man. Yes. I haven't listened to his podcast in a few months, but I do enjoy listening to him and the insights that he brings. I think, I also love listening to him, and I love listening to comedian podcasts, because their journeys are so similar to ours as musicians. Very,
yeah.
Very similar art form. And so I love listening to their stories on them finding their success while balancing their gratitude as well. Man. So I get it, what you were talking about, being grateful just a couple of minutes ago. That's something that I'm trying to get better as well, because especially within our specific community, we have the opportunity to make music with talented artists all over the world. And how, It feels so normal, right, to hop on Instagram or Discord or wherever you're chatting with everybody and to share these conversations with artists all over the world. And once again, back to hedonic adaptation.
It becomes normal.
It becomes normal, man. It's not normal at all. This is the first time in history where musicians are collaborating at such a global scale. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I'm fortunate for when I pause and I think about it, but I can be so nonchalant and casual about it.
It's because we have to. That's just adaptation, man. You got it. Mm-hmm. You can't just constantly be like, "Oh my God, I'm talking to someone in India right now." Wow. It's just not going to work. You can't be consistent with that.
True. That's a good point. It's that balancing piece, man. That balancing piece.
You gotta act like it's normal. Yeah, what's up, man?
Yeah. Yeah, so Brandon, with all of this growth in mind, I guess what are some of the what aspects of your life are you trying to get better at over the next several months, especially with everything that we just talked about?
The way things are going right now, it looks like I'm going to have a lot of traveling over the next few months. Right now, I'm just trying to finish out this semester strong and finish the albums and just stay sane and enjoy the time with my friends here in Nashville. So I'm going to be focused a lot on just life and just the social aspects of it. Because, I mean, I feel pretty happy. I feel pretty content with where I am. Like, I do feel like I'm at this, like, an interesting plateau. Like, it's a very high plateau. Like, I climbed a mountain to get here. There was a peak. There's a peak below me. There's a plateau, and there's more peaks. But I don't I don't feel the need to, like, climb to those peaks right now. Like, I do feel comfortable at this plateau. But I'm preparing. I'm preparing myself for the climb. Yep. And I'm right now, like, I'm like, over the summer, I'm probably going to head over to Europe and visit with some friends, some lo-fi friends. And I'm just, like, I've been speaking with them a lot lately via Instagram, WhatsApp, whatever. And I'm just trying to, like, build up those relationships a bit and get excited for it. Really, that's what it is for me. Like, I feel pretty comfortable with myself and life.
Yes. Well, and tell us more about these European travels, man, because especially for a lot of as US-based artists, it takes a little bit more for us to get across the pond and to be able to collaborate with all of our talented artists in Europe. And man, I've been seeing a lot of them travel and get together, and I'm definitely looking forward to the day where I can make that happen and go hang out and create with these individuals in person. So yeah, I guess what plans do you currently have, or who are you going to see? And what are you going to make happen while you're over there?
So the way it looks right now, I'm for May, I have this program that I'm doing with my school. It's like a May semester abroad in Germany. And we'll be traveling to a bunch of different towns in Germany, learning about urban community, art, and European modernism, and just some cool fun things for school. So I'm not really going to get to see a lot of people during that. So that's like May 10th through June 2nd. But after that, I have plans to head over to Amsterdam and see some homies. Lots of people in Amsterdam. That'll be really exciting. Because I've also never left the country before. So this will be my first time.
Awesome, man.
And yeah, I got Amsterdam on the list. Then I'm going to head back to Germany after like a week to 10 days. See some of the lo-fi fam there. And then definitely, I want to head over to Paris, meet up with some other people, as well as some like friends who are non-musical that live there. And then finally, I want to finish over in Portugal, which is where the homies from Effortless are based right now. And I'm really excited to meet them in person. So yeah, it's going to be a good time.
It's going to be so fantastic, dude. Oh, I saw a story where it was like Tebow the Traveler, Monberg, and some
AMS and all like Dimension and yeah.
Yeah, as soon as I saw that, I was like, is this the first like modern day lo-fi conference? You know, unknowingly.
I think it was. It was crazy, and it was so many of them too. Well, I mean, there have been other meetups like with Chill Hop Music. They do a lot of stuff there because they've recently set up the Chill Hop Music Studio there in Rotterdam. They've got a lot of sessions that have happened. They did one in New York a few years back. That was interesting. But I think that's like the biggest one that's happened is the one that they all put together in Germany, which that looks fun.
It looks like a ton of fun. And for me, kind of immediately relating it to business, right? Like I've gone to, especially during undergrad, went to a lot of different conferences and that felt like the first conference. And, I'm just so excited to see where all of the artists within this community continue to push us forward. Like I feel like there's so many possibilities, whether it be, label formations or just continued label growth, live shows, you have sample packs. I just can't wait to see where everybody takes their individual projects. And of course, by doing that, taking the scene as a whole.
And so
along those lines, Brandon, I guess what possibilities do you see for chill beats artists, for lo-fi artists moving forward? Like what does that expansion look like?
Well, for me personally, I see a lot more, of jazz entering this genre. And like creativity and just more blending with other genres, because lo-fi is like this thing that you can add to something. You can lo-fi-ify any other genre. But I guess I personally want to move away from like the very sleepy lo-fi. That's just that's just me. I mean, it's fun to make. It's marketable. But I want to take it more into the creative realm of like, where can we go with this? Like, how can this be marketed en masse to the people? How could this be like a user-friendly genre? How could this be? I don't know. I'm not really sure where it's going to go, but all I know is I want to be a part of what pushes the genre forward. And I want to challenge some of these music producers who are maybe at these conferences to just experiment and do new things and like just go crazy with what they're making and just step out of any pre-existing boxes and redefine what the word lo-fi means. Cause I think now is the time for that. Like we've had lo-fi, like we've had the sleepy stuff. We've had the classic sampled like, like it's been done before. And I just want more. Want to see what we can do rhythmically. I want to see what we can do melodically with it to preserve lo-fi and push it forward. I don't know where I'm going with this.
Well I couldn't agree more, man. And coming from primarily the electronic world, I think the future bass infusion is already occurring. Like Ian Ewing has done a great job with some like future bass sound design within his beats. Misc Inc. Is probably one of the best kind of genre blenders in regards to future bass and lo-fi, and he's coming out with some like down tempo. So I'm excited to have that electronical infusion. Electronic infusion. Electronical.
Electronical. Yeah, especially I love what Ian Ewing has been doing, because obviously he has those like electronic roots, a lot of his older stuff. I don't know how to pronounce it, like Aphelion. It's a really good song of his. But yeah, just the way he blends the electronic down tempo feeling with this new like low fidelity sound, he's done it really. Actually, a track that I think it was Speakeasy with Strello. Amazing, like perfect, like laid back electronic lo-fi.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely want to see a lot more of that electronic down-tempo fusion with lo-fi, because I just love it. It's so soothing.
Yeah, I agree. And I know I haven't been paying attention to lo-fi house maybe as much as I should, but I've been hearing whispers that that's continuing to grow as well, which is that's appealing and interesting to me. And then my new project, Dreamfield, with Kelly, the classic rocker, there's that's a working with him collaboratively has truly provided a different type of genre blending that I didn't anticipate, right? Of like rewinding back the clock and infusing it with the classic rock vibe and classic rock instrumentals, which has been super interesting. And I think there's those potential as well in regards to more instrumentalists joining the scene. Something that my buddy David Walk and I were talking about, it's like lo-fi reggae.
Ooh.
Is that a thing, you know?
I think it could be. I think my buddy Squeeta is like, I know Squeeta's been heavily influenced by reggae, and I'd like to see him step more into that as well. We talked a little bit about this, like with the band Through the Roots, and just like getting them on the lo-fi wave as well. He's done a good job, but I'd like to see some released.
Man, I really need to get Squeeta on here, because similarly, reggae is my favorite genre, and reggae is how I got into music as a whole. So I think there's definitely some potential there. And actually, I recorded an episode with Ghost Knot, and he he actually performed in a reggae band for a really long time. So I think we have individuals within our community that can maybe start melding these genres together. So once again, it just comes down to that openness to be creative and to go outside of the box and not necessarily think about the marketable success, but the artistic adventure.
Absolutely. At this point, we know in lo-fi, like, what is marketable. We know what it is. What we need to do is we need to expand it. We need to find out what else is – we find out what we enjoy making, make that, and then market that. Like, again, like, there's so much lo-fi that's been done, and I don't want to keep hearing the same lo-fi over and over again. I want to hear new things. I want to hear people blend reggae into, like, reggae and dub music with, like, electronic sounds with lo-fi. Like, how do we use reggae-inspired, like, rhythms and chord progressions along with, like, just a laid-back drum beat and, like, old 90s hip hop acapella samples. Yep. I don't know, like that I'd listen to that totally. Yeah, put it on the lo-fi beats playlist.
Me too, man. I'm super excited about that, and I'm definitely biased just being such a big fan and lover of reggae. But I guess what advice do you have for people that or maybe struggle with getting out of their creative comfort zone? Maybe they is there any advice that you have in regards to pushing those boundaries?
Well, I guess take a look at what you're listening to, because, I mean, whatever, you can't create something if you don't already consume something similar. Like, I mean, all art is just a conglomeration of different inspirations rechanneled through an artist. So, I mean, if you're listening to one genre of music, and that's generally what you're going to output as a creative. But if you're listening to, like, Japanese city pop and reggae, and then also, like, jazz from the, like, early, like, 60s, I don't know, just, like, listen, just branch out, listen to a lot of new artists, find them, go down YouTube recommended rabbit holes, sample hunting, like how I started originally, like finding new artists that I never would have found otherwise is through YouTube and through sample hunting. Because the YouTube algorithm, when you're sample hunting, like you go to Who Sampled, you're like, oh, this song is really dope. I wonder what the sample is from. It's like some random Japanese jazz pianist from the late 60s. It's like, cool. All right. What's in the recommended here? Like, who are all these people? And there's so many rabbit holes to go down. And YouTube for me was great for that. So I don't know. I guess get on Who Sampled, look up some of your and interesting samples, and go down rabbit holes, spend some time discovering new music, discover new music and get inspired.
Yeah. Well, and so how often do you genre jump within your listening, let's say in like a week long period? Because for me, with the amount of training I do, it's pretty easy to go to electronic music and listen to, I mean,
sure. It's the motivational dubstep,
future based yeah. trap, whatever. So that's, and then of course, classic rock, reggae, lo-fi for, my more chiller parts of the day. So for me, it's the attachment to, an external task that really allows me to jump between genres relatively easy. Mm. Is there anything that you follow in your life to ensure that you're consuming a lot of different types of music aside from sample digging?
I mean, at this point in my life, I just kind of listen to a lot of different music. I mean, it started with the sample hunting, but eventually, like, after I found all these artists, I just have a bunch of playlists with different moods for myself. Mm-hmm. And I'll look through the playlist and be like, I want to listen to this band right now, or I want to listen to this band right now. And a lot of it's just random. And I guess, I don't know, I just love listening to random different music depending on not really depending on anything. It's just what I consume any day. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, and that, man, and it's so interesting because current, quote unquote, top artists, some of the most wide reaching artists within our community have all come from different genres because this modern era lo-fi didn't necessarily exist, you know, like 5 years ago. Obviously not talking about classic lo-fi, but like this modern day, let's just call it Spotify lo-fi, whatever we want to call it. Mm-hmm. So many of us came from different genres, but now you have younger artists that are specifically getting in
to just lo-fi.
Just lo-fi, which is it's an interesting starting point, and it's gonna be interesting to see where those artists kind of push that sound. And I think it's a natural progression, I suppose, for any genre where they're going to enter it, and you have to replicate what you've heard before you can start testing the waters. But I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next year or 2 years in regards to that sound development.
It definitely will be now that we have. I do think we have now more than ever lots more genres coming into this. But it's also, yes, the contrast between people who only have an influence of lo-fi coming into the genre. I'm not sure if all of those people will last here because they don't have that external influence. And in that sense, they're limited in their creative capacity. So I think branching out, having multiple sources of influence is one of the best ways to stay fresh and stay hip to whatever the heck lo-fi is and is becoming.
Yeah, well, and I guess, yeah, Brandon, let's keep diving down that route, man. So okay. If an artist that's just starting out, let's just say in the first year of their artistic journey, they just started their first project and they're tuning into this conversation, what advice would you give them to help set them up for success?
Well, you got to know the roots. You got to know the roots. You got to go listen to MF Doom. You got to go listen to Dilla. You got to, at least for me, like understanding swing, understanding sampling and melody creation, Nujabes, definitely just listen to some of the classics and then listen to some of the greats now and hear what they're doing. kind of understand where the inspiration has come from. I think it's important to understand the history of this genre as well, because it is one with a long history, even though it seems pretty new.
Mm-hmm.
You can point to a lot of like Mad Lib, like very like pointed historical figures for this genre, and be like, yeah, this person influenced so many people in this. Because I mean, yeah, when Doom passed, everyone was posting like, oh, Doom inspired me on this track, and so much, like, thank you for this album, like, and that's when I think a lot of people, or maybe some of the newer artists, realized like, oh, this is older than I thought. So I guess, yeah, tapping into the history, but then also, I guess understanding the ecosystem that surrounds this genre right now, because the ecosystem here is it's interesting, and there's a label ecosystem, there's an artist ecosystem, like, I guess, like, there are artists at different levels right now in their career that work with certain people. There's also, like, it seems like there are cliques that form. So that's not necessarily a bad thing. But if you're a new artist, I'd say find other artists who are similar to you, who have similar drive to you. Also, reach out to artists who are bigger than you, because we're just people. And if you're dope and you have dope ideas, like, I don't know a lot of other people who wouldn't want to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm always open to people like sending me ideas, to work with. Like, if it's dope, I'll work with you. Easy.
Yep.
That's it. It's not about numbers. But yeah, I guess that's some of my advice.
Yeah, which is great advice. And unfortunately, this is the most open artistic community that I've ever been a part of know that exists, which is fantastic for up and coming artists. And you'd mentioned drive, man. So let's kind of talk about that tangible aspect of productivity, because there's the music isn't created without the work, and I think it's relatively easy, or at least it was for me in those first couple of years of production, just because everything was so new. I was so energized to create music, and I still am, but there is a certain point, relating back to hedonic adaptation, where you have to tap into that productivity, sit down and write your music. So maybe for an artist that is, coming out of their honeymoon period of music creation, where music creation, sitting down and actually doing the work has become more difficult. Like, what have you done, when you've experienced that in the past, if you have experienced that in the past?
Well, I experience that very often, and like, it's weird, 'cause I'll fall into like this groove of, like making very similar sounding music, and I get tired of it, and I'm like, all right, how can I branch out? Like, how can I do something either melodically interesting or rhythmically interesting? And so I try to change it up. Whatever I'm doing, I'll just go crazy with it. I'll start. First of all, one of the biggest challenges for me has been having too many options in the studio. Like, I have there's so many sound kits that I have in my library, so many like instruments around me. Like, I think one of the greatest things that breeds creativity is limitation. So limit yourself. Start recording sounds around you. Like, one of my, like, my biggest inspirational tools is having like a Zoom recorder that I can just like very easily record myself, or having this microphone here and just like recording like this, like that could be Foley and percussion. Like, mm-hmm. How can I make that into a snare layer, or how can I make that into a hi-hat, or like just looking at sounds differently. Like, you don't always have to have a hi-hat sound where the hi-hat goes. You don't always have to have a kick where the kick goes. And that's more in a rhythmic sense. But also, like, it can be such a struggle when you're composing things for yourself. Like me, I'm all right at piano and I'm all right at guitar, but like I'm not anomaly on keys. Like I'm not crazy. So I follow a lot of pianists on Instagram who do like good music lessons, like short ones, quick ones that just break down simple progressions that I find interesting, and I save them and I'll go back through and I'll learn those, like just simple progressions, all the time. And I'll use that as a starting place and I'll expand on it. Maybe I'll transpose the key and I'll get really good at playing that one progression, and then I'll add another chord. Maybe I'll add extensions. Maybe I'll make it suspended. Maybe I'll just, I don't know. I just, finding places to start for me is often the hardest. So if you have a place to start, you can go from there.
Yeah, well, and that's interesting. It's kind of that the blank canvas syndrome.
It's intimidating.
And it's funny. It's funny how some artists, it's interesting how like what piece of production some artists get stuck on. So for me, a blank Ableton session is my favorite. Right. Okay. And then it's actually it's sitting down and finalizing the track, which I know so many other
finishing
artists
things is so
experience.
Hard. Yeah.
Finishing can be extremely difficult, which is where collaboration can come in clutch. You don't have to do it alone.
Yeah.
But I think let's even take it one step further, Brandon. So that even before opening up Ableton, like making the decision to sit down and write music.
Oh.
What's your experience with that? And I mean, that's a dilemma that we face every single day as artists and musicians. So how do you overcome that initial resistance to actually sit down and put an hour in or 2 hours in?
Well, it's hard because I'm in a different situation than a lot of artists. And also a similar situation, I guess, because I mean I'm at university, and that. Like the amount of work that I have to do eats up a lot of my energy that I have for creativity. So finding the time is not the problem, but finding the energy is more the problem. So like I can sit down in front of my computer, and really for like the last few months, I haven't started a lot of new projects. I've just been finishing, because I told you at the beginning, like I've been finishing two albums. But how it was before, yeah, I guess it's just like, it's hard. It's just hard. It's just hard. You just have to make the decision. You just have to make the decision to, and it's different for everyone. Like I wish I could give advice on this, but you have to find it within yourself. You have to find your own reason for creation. And that's going to be different for everybody. Why are you sitting down to create? Are you sitting down because you feel that you need to create, or is it because you want to create something new? That's a lot of the thing for me. Like when I'm sitting down and I'm like, okay, I gotta make one more song for this album. I got nothing. Well, but if I sit down and I have no expectations, I think going into a song with no expectations, energy always flows so much more freely. So I guess the best advice I can give is don't go into a song with any expectations, and just be creative. Just don't try to make anything. Just do what sounds good to you. And if you're living in the moment, you're enjoying what you're doing, something good will come out of it.
Brandon, hey, I think that's a perfect note to perfect inspirational note to end this conversation on, man. So before we wrap it up, is there anything you want to, any last words you'd like to say or anything you want to promote before we close this one out?
Well, I guess just remember, everyone, go through your day-to-day life, live it with love, live it for the small moments. It's not about this big purpose that you're put on earth for. It's about the day to day. You have to wake up and go to sleep every day, and you gotta live. You got to do monotonous things. Find the beauty in it. It's there. It exists. It's just whether you want to see it or not. So live life.
Damn, that was
peace and love.
Dude, that was good. Peace and love. That's what we're ending this on. Brandon, as always, thank you, brother.
Thank you.